I'll answer that question for you. Nowhere. Where could I go but to the Lord? No other place to go but to the Lord. Good morning to everyone. God is good. And all the time, God is good. God is always good. There's no time when God is bad. God, although in today's vernacular, we sometimes say bad and we mean good. But God is never bad. He's always good. So let us remember to thank God for each and every morning that you arise out of your sleeping and slumbering, because he didn't have to wake you up. No, sir. This morning, let us take a moment and go to God in prayer before we go any further. Our Lord, our God, our Heavenly Father, we are so very blessed this morning because you have given us a new opportunity, a new day, and a new chance at this thing called life. We're so thankful this morning, Father, because you didn't have to leave us here, but you saw fit to leave us. We're thankful because this is a blessed day, because this is your day, O Lord. Father, I know you own all the days, but especially this day. Thank you, Father, for making us a part of it. Thank you, Lord, for giving us like you give us. Thank you, Lord, for your darling son, Jesus Christ, who because he lived, he died, and he lives again. He lives on. Thank you, Lord. Father, we pray for the Church of Christ, in particular this local congregation here. We pray for its leaders and their families, all the brethren who have taken part in the services thus far. We thank you for them and their families as well, and we pray for those to come from this point on. Thank you, Lord. Father, when we went to bed on last night, we were not sure whether we would get up this morning, but you saw fit to give us your grace and carry us through the night. Thank you, Lord. Father, we know that there are many who started this journey and they're no longer on this road, but we just thank you because we're still on it. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you because when Jesus went to the cross, he went there for us, not for himself. Thank you, Lord. Father, we pray for those who might be sick and shut in, those who might be traveling, those who might still be on their way. We pray that your grace may bring them along and get them here safe and securely. Amen. And we pray, O Heavenly Father, for all of the parents this day. And Lord, just a note of thanks for all your goodness toward us, for the food we ate this morning, for the shelter we enjoyed on last night, for everything you gave us, O Lord. Father, and as we go into, we're about to begin a new era in our world of politics, and we ask you, Lord, to give us an opportunity to just be a part of it. We may not agree with who serves in the White House, but we know who holds the White House up. We just thank you, O Lord. We thank you for everything you do for us, and Lord, please continue to bless all of those who are away at war and fighting and on the battlefronts all over the world. We just pray that they might all gather themselves together and come home soon, O Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, now as we move into this portion of our service, we pray that you be with us and watch over and keep us. In Jesus' name I pray and ask it all. Amen. The scripture was read for your hearing from Genesis chapter 6. And the first 7 verses were read for your hearing. And we'll probably use a little bit more of that chapter 6. But we want to talk about the ark of safety and Jesus. Now, I know there are those today who would doubt or deny that there ever was a flood or a magnitude of water upon the earth as described in the book of Genesis. They also deny that if there came that much rain, how could something as big as an ark survive? Might I remind those who don't believe what the Bible says? what it says in Romans chapter 3, verse number 3, and verse number 3. For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? There are no contradictions found in the Bible, despite what some would say. When we allow faith to work in us, we can accept it as the true word of God without error, and then can allow God's word to be without any prejudice against God. Let us find through the Old Testament a picture, if you will, of the wonderful salvation of Jesus. God provided the ark in verse 14 of Genesis chapter 6. I want you to notice verse 14. God gave some instructions there. He said, make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shall thou make in the ark, and thou shalt pitch it within and without pitch. God knew how he wanted the ark to be built. He knew even the kind of material he wanted. He knew what he wanted it to be made of, right down to the plaster and the cement, which the word pitch means. It's a cement and a glue of sort to hold things together. The same way in which the word pitch was used in Exodus 2 and verse number 3 in building an ark to save Moses. The ark was to be a refuge of safety for Noah and his family and the animals that God wanted saved. For us who were not a part of those days of old, God provided Christ for us as our Savior. In John 3:16, the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Just like the ark was safety for Noah, Jesus is safety for us today. You may as well know that we were all in the need of saving. We had been convicted and sentenced to death, but the penalty was too great for us. But God presented Jesus as a Savior for us. Notice in 1 John 4 and in verse number 10, herein is the love that not that we love God, but that he loved us. Sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. That word propitiation refers to the divine work of Christ on the cross for us, in place of us. When Jesus came into this world, he had a mission. He was on a mission. Luke 19 and verse number 40, I believe it is, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that is us. That which was lost. We were lost. And God sent a Redeemer or a Savior down unto us. God could have finished us off a long time ago. But because of his love for us, it was greater than his need to destroy us or his desire to destroy us. So he sent Jesus to save us. And you know, when you look at the text, you see what was going on at the time of Noah back then. Look at verse number 1. And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair. And they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days. And also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men, which were of old men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of the heart was only evil continually. And I want you to notice this part here now, verse number 6. and it repented the Lord that he had made man on earth, and it grieved him at his heart. Now God became sorry that he made man. Men were so bad. They were everywhere he looked around, he saw that men were filled with corruption, violence. And I want you to notice verse number 11 also. The earth was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. Notice, if you will, how badly things were going for mankind, how bad mankind was. He decided to destroy mankind as well as the entire earth. Jesus is our only shelter today. Jesus is our shelter from what was happening, what is happening in the world today. For the sinner, and since we are all sinners, and I'm not saying that because I know what you do or anything, I'm just simply saying we're all sinners, so I guess we all need we're all in need of prayer. We all need a Savior, and that is Jesus Christ as our Savior. Let me remind you of something. Jesus we'll keep going. A microphone doesn't stop the word of God. Amen. Let me remind us that Jesus is the one of safety for us all. Okay, I believe we're ready again. Sorry about that for the disturbance. Jesus, as a matter of fact, is the only way. In Acts chapter 4 and verse number 12, the Bible says, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." There won't be another or a better choice. There is not another Savior. There will never be another plan presented to us, so we need to get on board with Christ this morning. Just like with the Ark Noah built, it was the only refuge back then for Noah and his family and all the animals that were put into the boat. They were in a safe zone. Jesus is our safe zone today, and we had better consider Jesus, because there is none better, nor is there anyone else to consider, because one day we shall have to leave the comforts of this earth. We should consider, where shall we spend our eternity? There are only two possible answers: heaven as one, and hell as the second one. Heaven is to live with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We can so get there by living for him now, so we may live with him on it later. Hell, on the other hand, is to spend eternity away from God. There are, just as those in the day of Noah were outside the ark, so were the lost. Those on the inside were safe. Those outside could not get in because God had shut them out. God shut in Noah and his family. But those who were on the outside were not in a safe zone. They could not get out, and neither could anyone get in. So I ask the question today, are we safe? If we stay in the care of our Savior, we are. Remember John 3:16 said again, "Whosoever believeth in him should not perish." Jesus saved us and gives us hope for everlasting life. if we continue in his ways. Man was not, could not, and cannot save himself. When God looked upon this earth, he saw evil men. There were thoughts, there were evil continually. It repented the Lord that he had even made man. So he decided to destroy the very man he had created along with the earth. But Noah found grace in the eyes of God, and God found righteousness in Noah. 40 days, I want you to imagine, if you will, can you picture in your mind the great rain must have come from 40 days of continual rain and 40 nights of continual rain. When we get 1 or 2 days of rain, we often say, boy, I wish it would quit raining. But can you imagine 40 days and 40 nights? Everyone who had the breath of life in them died except Noah and his family. They lived. Thousands of years later, man was again in need of safety. So God sent his son Jesus to be safety for us. Jesus went to his death for us. He lived, he died, and he lives on. For he said in John 10 and chapter 9, verse number 9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Then Jesus put the frosting on the cake when he said in John 14 and 6, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. If we expect to ever see the Father, we must come by the way of Jesus. Noah trusted in God's word enough that he was willing to carry out God's instruction. Now I want you to notice something. What the Lord said again in verse number 14. He said, make me an ark of gopher wood. Room shall thou pitch in the ark, and shall pitch it within and without with pitch. Now, I don't know if Noah had a local Home Depot to go to or not, but God instructed him to get gopher wood. Now, I'm not really sure what gopher wood is, but I'm sure it's some form of wood that God felt was sturdy enough to withstand what he was going to do. So Noah, in verse number 15, and in this fashion which thou shalt make it, he gave me the blueprint for it. The ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. A window shall thou make to the ark, and a cubit shall thou finish it above. And the door of the ark shall thou set in the side thereof. With the lower, second, and third stories shall thou make it. And behold, I do... bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh wherein the breath of life from under heaven and everything that is in the earth shall die. But with thee I will establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. Now I want you to picture an ark the size of a football field for all you that follow football. The size of a football field with three stories high, and rooms within there to house all of God's creatures that he put in there along with Noah and his family. Now I want you to note that, if you will, that was a big boat. That was a big boat. So the question for us is, do we trust and have faith as Noah had? Do we trust God enough to obey his word? Do we trust God enough to let him handle our lives? Or do we want to stand around and say, I can do a better job? Do we trust Jesus as our Savior to hear and to do the will of him who laid down his life that we might be saved? If you do, then why not make this day you say so, by coming to him for the first time or returning to him? We truly know that we are safe when we are in the hands of Jesus. Jesus doesn't float like the ark did, but he walked on water. Jesus doesn't have an ark to enter in, but he has the church which he built, and we can come in. When the flood of waters of life have almost too much for one to bear, and we are about to drown, Jesus is our lifeline and our safety net. When you are concerned about the stuff that just remember to go to him in prayer, according to Luke 18:1, we ought to always pray. When you don't know which way to turn, let me suggest turning to Jesus, for he will supply all your needs. When your right hand doesn't know what your left hand is doing, speak to Jesus. He knows your heart. When you don't know what the day will bring, remember who made and who is in charge of the day. God is all right today and every day. Trust in him, for he can see you through. Jesus is our Savior. He can guide us from earth to glory if we allow him to. Satan has nothing to offer but the everlasting fires of hell. Who will you trust today? I ask you the question today. Who do you trust? Who will you trust? Will you trust Jesus, or will you trust someone who doesn't have your best interest at hand? Remember the scriptural text back there, and it said, the sons of and the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for he that he is also his flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. God is not going to allow his spirit to be with us always. When the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, they bare children to them, and they became mighty men, which were of old, men of renown. But I want you to notice this part again. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination and thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Where are we at today? Doesn't that sound a little bit like what we're going through today? People are evil. People are evil. Their thoughts are evil. Do you know there are people that lay around at night trying to figure out something evil to do to me and you the next day? They're evil. And don't go out in the street and look at somebody. That's a bad thing to do. You don't want to stare nobody in the face. You want to look down, look away, or look up, look down, or look the other way, but don't stare anybody in the face. Their thoughts are evil. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. That meant all day, all night, and all the time. And again, verse 6, and it repented the Lord that he had made man on earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping things that the fowls of the air, for it repented me that I have made them. But verse number 8, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Will God find grace in your eyes? Will God find grace in you when he looks at you? When God speaks, we ought to listen. And Noah begot 3 sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth was also corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked on the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. That's when he told Noah to make him an ark out of gopher wood. Now what I ask of you this morning is this. If God asked you to do something, would you do it on your faith because you have faith in him? Or will you ignore him? Noah took his word, God's word, for everything that he told him. He told him to make it out of gopher wood, told him how to pitch it, told him how to make the rooms, told him everything, and Noah trusted in God's word. Do you trust in God's word this morning? Are you with God this morning? Or are you trying to handle your life on your own? When God tells us to do something, we're supposed to do it. When God tells us how to do something, we're supposed to do it. When God tells us when to do something, we're supposed to do it when He told us to do it. And how He told us to do it. Now, if God told us, and sometimes we think things that are impossible to us, we think they're also impossible to God, but nothing is impossible to God. God can tell us what to do, when to do, and how to do, and we ought to trust in Him enough to make sure that we do it. When I got up this morning, my mind was already made up that I was coming to church. Yes, sir. And I wasn't going to let anything get in my way short of disability. And I got myself up and got myself together, and I brought myself and my wife out to church. Mm-hmm. Now, what did you say that for, preacher? Well, very simply, because I trust that this is the Lord's day. Yeah. And I know where I'm supposed to be on the Lord's day. Mm-hmm. I'm supposed to go to His house. And if I leave my house, I ought to be going to His house and not anyone else's house. And if I go to His house, I get in His house and I meet with other folks who have come from their house to His house. And just when you thought it was safe to go into the water, the water is still corrupted out there. You see, people now, you know, I often tell you that people make new rules for driving by the way that they drive. You can't count on being safe just because you're in your car. You can't count on being safe because you're surrounded by the walls of your house. You've got to serve God in spirit and in truth on a Sunday morning when you come out to worship Him, and you've got to trust in Him throughout the week that He'll carry you through. You've got to ask God to protect you and guide you. Now, just like everybody else, I'm leery about going in the streets. Now, there was a time when I didn't worry about the streets because I was in them. But now I'm leery about going out in the streets today. So when darkness comes, I want to be in the house. When darkness rolls up, I don't want to be just going out. I want to be just coming in to make sure I make it in before the darkness rolls around. So what are you saying, preacher? I'm simply saying this, that if I do have to go out in the darkness, I'm going to ask the Lord to guide and protect me while I'm out in the dark, because I know that He has eyes that can see better than the ones I've got. I know that His hand is big enough to cover me, you, and everybody else that asks Him to cover us. And that's why when I think about that boat, that ark that Noah built, what a gigantic sight that must have been. What a huge boat that must have been. And then for this thing to float on 40 days and 40 nights of water. Do you understand that God created that rain and he commissioned Noah to put that boat to work for Him? Noah was in safety. We're in the safe zone when we're with Jesus Christ today. Yes, sir. The church of Christ is Jesus' build, is Jesus' church. Mm-hmm. Now this building, we man built. We understand that. But it's the church, the concept of the church that's safety for us. It's the concept that Jesus built it and it's His house. So when you're thinking about, I want to make up my mind whether I want to trust God or not, just remember all the things that God has done for you. Yes, remember that you didn't wake up on your own this morning. Mm-hmm. You didn't get up by yourself this morning. You didn't just go out. I know what you say. I went out and bought these clothes, but God gave you the means to get the clothes or to get the job that you were able to get the clothes. So trust in the Lord. And if you are not with Him, you ought to reconsider your thinking. You need to get with Him so that you'll be in the ark of safety, the safe zone as well. Jesus is our safety today, church. So how do I get with Jesus? How do I become a member of the Lord's body? You come by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and then being baptized. And if you already made those steps and you've already been baptized, you need to go back to the Lord and ask Him to forgive you whatever your shortcomings may be. And I don't pretend to know what your shortcomings are, because only you know that. Because you don't know what mine are. Only I know that. But whatever it is, ask the Lord to protect you and keep you and put your trust in Him. And then come before the church and ask the church to pray for you. Now, I often tell you that when you come up here, don't mumble. Let the church know, because you're asking somebody to pray for you. You got to let them know what you want them to be asking God for you for. Just say, you don't have to tell all your secrets in life, but at least let me know what you want me to pray for you for. I've fallen short. Well, then I can pray for your shortfall. I've sinned. Well, I can pray for your sins. I've become lax and weak in my spirit. Okay, then we can pray for your lax and your weakness in your spirit. But don't just come here and mumble. And when I said this before and I'm going to say it again. When you're saying something, face the audience. Don't stand up here and turn your back, because you can't hear me half the time when I turn my back. I got the aid of a microphone, so you should be able to hear me. But stand and face the audience and let them know what's on your heart, what's on your mind. And then by all means, go home and pray for yourself. See, I can't outpray you for what you want. You ought to be able to pray for what you want. And then just ask me or the church members here to pray with you for what you want. Now, God is not always going to give you what you want. I know you want that lucky scratch off. God may not give you that lucky scratch off. Or I know you want God to go with you over to the boat. God may not go with you over to the boat. He may guide you to get there safely, but he's not going in there with you. So ask God in honesty and in truth of what you want. And He may not give you what you want, but He certainly will supply all your needs. And I know that all of us have needs of something. Some of us, it may be money. Some of us, it may be we need to get our bills paid. Some of us may be for a new car. Some of us for shoes for our feet. But whatever it is, if it's something you need, God will supply all your needs. Just ask Him. Won't He do it, church? All right. Y'all can help me when I'm up here. I got a little distracted this morning up here, but that's okay. Sorry. We made it through after all. But nevertheless, God is a good God. He was looking out for His people. He was looking out for Noah and his family and all creation, because He took two of every animal that there were and brought them into the boat. And Jesus was looking out for His people in this dispensation. We're under grace and truth.
Yes, sir.
And we need to act like we're under grace and truth. We need to consider God before we consider anything else on Sunday morning. I don't care how bad your car needs cleaning up. I don't care how bad the yard needs raking. The snow needs to be removed. You need to get up and come to church on Sunday morning. You need to be here when Brother Jackson gets here, or shortly thereafter. Because Brother Jackson opens the door, and I'm pretty sure you don't want to be here when he gets here. Because he gets here pretty early. But you need to be here soon after him. So that, and the Sunday morning Bible class, I may as well throw this out while I'm doing these commercials. The Sunday morning Bible class. We need more of you in the Sunday morning Bible class. Because you know what? Bible class is where you can raise your hand and get your question answered. See, when I'm up here, you can't raise your hand because I'm not going to recognize your hand. I'm going to simply keep on message that I've got prepared already. And you notice I prepare them because my memory is not as good as it once was. So I don't go from memory. I go from my notes. So you need to get yourself together and get in here on Sunday morning. And then I may as well just throw this other one in while I'm here. Wednesday night. We're not in Wednesday night class now, but Wednesday night Bible class. You need to be out here. And I know what you say is dangerous in the street, so I don't want to come out at night. Well, call somebody. Maybe they'll pick you up. I'm sure that they will if you call them. They'll pick you up and get you in here to Wednesday night Bible class. See, we need to be a learning congregation. We need to be willing and ready to work for God, but we need to know how and what to work for. And we don't know it unless we get taught, unless we're taught. And when we're taught, then we can do it. And that's what Bible class is all about, teaching us. So I'm suggesting that it spring will roll around again, and we're going to, Lord's will, and we're going to spend Bible class on Wednesday nights here. Lord's will. And we already got Sunday morning going, and Brother Jackson works very hard in having his lesson prepared on Sunday morning. And then we go through questions, and that's the good part. Brother Jackson will read a question and say, who has the answer? And then you have an opportunity to speak your mind on that answer. That's what church and serving the Lord is all about. So try to get here on Sunday morning. Try to get here on Wednesday night and try to serve God in spirit and in truth all the day long. We're only here for a couple of hours from 10 o'clock, and I make it a point to try to be done at about 12 o'clock so we can finish up completely by 12:15, 12:30. Now, that's not long, is it, church? Nope. A baseball game is longer than that.
Yes, sir.
A football game is longer than that. But we need to be in the service of the Lord early. Do you remember when the ladies went to the tomb? They went early in the morning.
Yes, sir.
So we need to be early in the morning. We need to get here.
That's
right. So I just thought I'd throw that out for you while you're here, and I have you in a captive audience. So now with that, I've already given you the instructions how you can become a member of the body of Christ. Mm-hmm. I've already went through that, but I'll go through it again. You come by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and then being baptized. And Brother Jackson will baptize anyone that needs to be baptized today. Mm-hmm. And if you've already been baptized and you just want to come around and come back to Jesus, you come back by asking the church to pray for you. You go to God, ask for forgiveness of whatever your ailment or your problem may be, and then ask the church to pray for you as we together stand and sing the song of invitation.
Number 78.